Brazilian kids TikTok thing. My whatever.
I saw that. It's so cute.
It's so wholesome. Why are they making their own stills over this?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
You're back in your dorm?
Yes.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was really nice. I went and saw a bunch of family that I haven't seen in a while, so it was good.
Good, good.
Huh? How was yours?
It was good. We went away to a kind of a resort not too far out of Atlanta, which was nice to get away. So, let's see.
Right when I bought this computer, my battery wouldn't survive a class day, like in high school. Like I couldn't go 6 hours.
Oh yeah, no, when I have an exam on campus and I have 30 minutes of class, I'm scared.
I was bring a charger, because it literally dies.
I just got my, well, I just moved from my back. I'm not really. Oh, it's in Arizona, my dad.
So how are we doing? How was Thanksgiving? Yeah. Anybody go away or you stayed in town?
I just stayed
in town. Worked, right?
Yeah. No.
I had an exam 2 days after the break ended, so that was real nice.
Wow, so when was that? That was Tuesday, yesterday? Wow. All right. I went to Lake Lanier. Anybody ever hear of Lake Lanier?
Did you go canoeing?
No, I didn't go canoeing. No, we did a little bit of ice skating, and we did some amusement park rides, actually, because they have some rides there, so we did that. So it was cool. I have a 9-year-old, so. My second time, yeah. But my first time staying overnight there, so it was nice. So anyway, you guys did great. Congratulations. I sent you the reliabilities, and everybody seems to understand experience and management of aggressive impulses. How do you guys feel you did?
I definitely thought I did a lot worse than I did.
Yeah, but you're in the 90s.
Yeah, it just felt that way.
I think this might be the first time everybody was in the 90s, so that's great. It's really good. So we will review everybody's answers, and then I'll talk a little bit about the next dimension, which is the next to last dimension, which is self-esteem. So I'll talk about that a little bit. Elisa, our project coordinator, is working feverishly on her abstract for the poster. So I feel relieved that we'll have at least one poster, assuming that they'll accept it. I don't think it'll be a problem, but Elisa just is going to edit it a little bit and send it to me, and I'm going to review it. And once I review it, I'm going to send it to you guys to review as well. Okay? Do you want to say anything about that, Elisa?
No, not much. That's
really all right. Yeah, I'm sure you're doing more than just the abstract. You're in a master's degree program at Columbia, so I think you got your plate.
There are a lot of final papers at the moment. But
yeah.
So you got to keep track of it all.
You got a lot on your plate.
Which post
APA for the APA?
No,
the,
what's the title of the poster?
Oh.
Just for
do you have the title, Lisa?
My
I know that was something that I had asked you to work on. You're still working
yeah.
on it.
Yeah, something I'm still working on.
Right. But I think you're interested in how the therapeutic alliance between the therapist and the patient correlates
yeah.
with some of the scales that were met that were coding, right?
Yeah, specifically like emotional investment in relationships and self-esteem.
Okay. So we've already practiced the emotional investment in relationships, and actually we're going to be doing coding this coming week on self-esteem. So this is one of the two dimensions that Elisa is interested in. So it's good news. So, all right. Anything else you want to add about it?
No, not much. If anyone else wants to talk about it or put input on it, I would love that. So,
all right. So once you get me the abstract 250 words or less, I'll review it, make some edits, and then I can send it out and have the rest of the group review and make their comments. How's that sound?
That sounds wonderful.
All right. And everybody's name is going to be on it. All right. No student left behind. So we're a very cooperative lab, and we all share the credit. So let's look at your responses on the aggression scale. So we'll start get my trusty pointer out. We'll start with the first vignette, and the gold standard rating is a 5. And we have here, let's see, 5, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. That's a little tiny bit low, but it's within the range. 6, 6, 6, which is also within the range. So now if somebody who scored this vignette a 6 were paired with somebody who scored it a 4, that'd be a little bit problematic. Anybody want to share? I think G1 was the only one who got it right on the head. Nailed it right on the head. Anybody want to talk about it? Or maybe it's been a while since you reviewed these because of the break. In this example, the patient's sister, either by accident or purposely, erased her drawing. If there were more evidence that it was done on purpose, that is, Julie admitted she did it on purpose, and driven by anger, then Julie's management of aggression would be coded lower, score 3 or less. However, given that this is not directly provided, it should not be inferred, meaning you can't assume that that's what's going on here. The patient makes it a point to say she was not angry, which could imply that there was likely a part of her that was angry. That is, she's denying or disowning her experience of anger toward her sister. Instead, it is internalized and experienced as disappointment. For these reasons, this is given a score of 5. If she didn't mention anger at all, then it would likely be given a score of 4. Finally, if there were mention of both Julie's direct or indirect aggression combined with the patient's disavowed aggression, then a middle rating would need to be provided, and we know that that's a 4. Any questions about it? Everybody good with this one?
Yeah. Just don't trust fully what people say.
Don't trust what people say.
Fully. And burn deeper.
Well, if somebody, if I came into the room and said, I am not angry today, not at all.
Yeah, we can't tell the volume when we're reading the text.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Unless it's like an all caps and like three exclamations.
Right. That is true. That is true. But what if I kept, I am not angry. I'm definitely not angry. Nope. Nope. I'm not angry. Nope. Can't be angry here. It's not possible for me to get angry. Then you're thinking, okay, they're in denial about their own anger. Let's go to number two, the second vignette is a two, and we've got two. What's that? Oh, I did. Two, so we got two. Hi.
Hello.
2, 1, 2, 2, 3, 2. That's all within one. 4, 3, 3. So the four is a little bit high.
Yeah, I just got confused because of the fact that it mentioned the dad, but the mom was definitely like a two.
So you're good? You drop your score?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. In this example, the patient's mother is clearly dysregulated. The patient reported her mother is mad at me, threw me out of the house, yelled, and was screaming. Given these verbal manifestations of anger, this is coded as a two. Now, if there were hitting involved, then we'd be thinking one. If spanking was introduced into the narrative and or there was more evidence surrounding physical aggression beyond throwing patient out of the house, then a score of one could be given. So do you see why a two is appropriate there, Nicole?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to number three. Number three. We've got, so the gold standard is three. We've got 3, 4, 3, 3. 5 is a little high. 3. And 2, 2, 2. So, Daniel, how about that 5?
I'm gonna go back to the reading real quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can also read the rationale for the 3.
Yeah, so it says here, annoyed and angry, I want to leave the table, leave me alone. I don't like to fit on one good. Like, to me, it's like, kind of seemed like he wanted to like avoid the situation.
Uh-huh.
That's why I gave it a 5. And then reading this stuff afterward, I think this is supposed to be like fantasizing anger. But when I did it, I didn't see it that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you misread the vignette.
I think when I read it, it says, I would put the two together and think she was trying to poison me. I think I read it as, I wouldn't put the two together.
Oh.
Something like that.
Okay. All right. In this example, the patient endorses feeling angry and annoyed. The patient also had fantasies of her mother trying to poison me. In this narrative, the patient explains that this was a thought and there was no evidence of actual poisoning. The experience of anger along with fantasies of aggression by another is why this is rated as a 3. Of note, if the patient opting not to eat was determined to be passive aggressive, so not enough evidence in current narrative, this would also substantiate a score of 3. Remember, 3 is angry, passive-aggressive, denigrating, or physically abusive to self, or fails to protect self from abuse.
Yeah.
Okay?
I found like it harder to distinguish between like 5 and 3 sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because like, I think 3 you can talk about like feeling angry, but then it's like, You talk a little bit later about like avoiding the situation and kind of like
five. Right. So then in that, if you have a vignette where it's a 3 in one part of the vignette and a 5 in another, you probably take the middle.
I mean, but I was talking about like, it was like one of the examples they gave. I think they explained it. quite the point. It was like, they're like, I'll read one of the rationales. It was like, in this example, anger is acknowledged but not expressed. It is internalized, suppressed, and avoided. This would be a prototypic response for 5. However, this example could be transferred to 3 if the individual owned feeling angry but omitted details regarding suppressing and avoiding feelings of conflict.
Where are you reading?
So this is the example for 5. For
okay. All right. So are you good?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I just think 5 is a little high. 5 would mean that the person's avoiding confrontation, doesn't want to get involved. You know, there's no anger leaking out. So for anger to leak out, you're thinking score of 1, 2, or 3, basically. And 4 is no anger at all to code. All right, so we move on to vignette numero 4. And we got, that's a 1. We have 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 3. 3 is a little high. 1. One, one, two. So, Daniel, what do you think about the 3? You think it's too high?
Yeah, I was between a 1 or a 3.
All right. This example clearly describes physical and verbal abuse. So anytime there's physical and verbal abuse, automatic 1. For example, Dad got so mad telling me to shut up and be quiet, waving belt around, threatening behavior, and hitting me with it. There's also an impulsive quality to the aggressive acts. It does not seem planned. It is an immediate response to the patient's behavior. For these reasons, this is given a score of 1. Occasionally.
For me, since it didn't seem like that he was hitting at him in this exact story, he said it was like sometimes, but now that I see that what you mean, like if it's just mentioned, that's an automatic like marker for it. But for me, it was like this story specifically, he wasn't hit. But I guess I remember.
No, it says it's
told in the past.
It says hitting me with it.
Yeah, I think I probably skipped through that one.
Okay, you got to read every word of these vignettes to get reliable. If you skip over certain parts, you're not going to be reliable. Although overall, you did really well, Daniel.
I also read your blog says he usually apologized the next day and brought me some kind of gift.
Yeah, but it doesn't. I mean, maybe you could argue that bumps it up to a 2. But the fact is that, you know, this person hit another person with a belt, right? Like if you're in an abusive relationship with your partner and they beat you up and then they come back the next day and say, you know, I'm really sorry I did that, give me another chance, you know, what's the appropriate response there? You know, it's not going to really help, because all the literature suggests that people who batter, you know, batterers do it over and over and over again. It's not just a one-time thing, you know. All right.
I'm starting to.
Okay. 5. Vignette 5, the score here, the gold standard score is 5. And we have 5, 5, 7. That's a little bit high. Sage lean. 4, 5, 5. And rounding out 5, 5, 5. So Sage lean, you gave this one a 7.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I wrote down in my notes that it was a healthy expression and of anger. And I remember remember coming back with flowers and like a happy flip face, and he was like, how annoying and irritating, but he smiles. And then in the end, he was smiling, and I think he was, and he was happy that they were back. So I think that the negative experience was kind of like, you know, canceled out by like the happiness of them coming, of him coming back. Like, he didn't hold it against them, he didn't express
right.
it. He wasn't hostile to them either, like, he smiled, he didn't treat them any differently afterwards, and that, because of that, I gave it a higher score.
So you think the smiling was that this guy was genuinely happy?
Oh, he's glad that, yeah, he's glad that she's back. It's just written here that he's glad that she's back, and thinks about how annoying and irritating and long that was.
All right, so let me turn to the actual vignette.
He does also say he was powerless and bewildered by being dragged around. But bewildered isn't like an expression of anger, right?
What's that?
But he also, it also says he feels powerless and bewildered by being dragged around. But I don't think powerless and bewildered is like an expression of anger.
Okay, so so it comes near the end of the story. He's glad that she's back and thinks about how annoying and irritating and long that was. And he feels powerless and bewildered by being dragged around by his parents. But he smiles because it's just the way it is these days. So he's hiding his feelings. The smile is not it's not a reflection or a manifestation of a genuine feeling. It's a way to mask. So he's putting on a smile mask, if you want to put it that way, to conceal underlying feelings of irritation and annoyance.
It's an internalized in a non-physically self-conscious way. Okay.
Or, so this person's avoiding dealing with anger by denying it, defending against it, or avoiding confrontation. So they're denying their anger by smiling. I'm sure you know, you all know somebody in your life who, when they get angry, they become syrupy, sugary, sweet, and smile, but you can tell that something's really bothering them. You know, you have someone in your life like that? Maybe not. Okay, good. It's great that you don't. But some people respond to their anger by
Extra
accommodating, extra nice, extra kind, extra generous. In psychoanalytic terms, so my background is, I'm a psychoanalyst as well as a researcher, and in my background, that's a defense mechanism, and the term for that is called reaction formation. Anybody ever hear that term in a personality class or psychopathology class you might have taken?
Oh, sorry, can you repeat again?
What
was the term?
Reaction formation.
Reaction.
Yeah. Okay. It dates way back to the days of Sigmund Freud and his daughter Anna Freud, and he coined this term to capture a particular type of defense mechanism that people use to avoid their feelings of anger. So, it's usually you do the opposite. The behavior is the opposite of how the person's really feeling. And often, the person isn't even aware that they're doing it. It operates on an unconscious level. So that's what's going on here. So in the future, when you see this, be thinking about reaction formation. And reaction formation is a 5. All right? So we go to number 6, and that too is a 1. Yep, that's the gold standard. Is a 1. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Wow, good. Let's see if we can keep it up. 1, 1, 1. So we got 1.0 reliability on number 6. That's great. Good job, everybody. Now we go to vignette 7, and the gold standard is 6. We've got 7, 6, 7, 7, 6, 6. So far, so good. 767. Great. There's some, obviously some uncertainty about whether this should be a 6 or a 7. But I think the majority of people put it in 6. Anybody want to speak to the 7? So I can read about it. In this example, both characters are frustrated and angry and likely scared over their son's well-being. They're trying to communicate effectively in spite of this. The male character wants to avoid, albeit temporarily, the current conversation. So what would that be? Possibly a 5, right? While the female character would like to work on their conflicting views in the moment. Based on the husband's initial avoidance, we're starting at a score of 5, which is what I just said. Given that they are appropriately expressing their feelings to some degree and agree to revisit the issue, the final score is a 6. If there were more discussion about the couple's processing of their anger and the appropriate resolution of the conflict, then it would be increased to a score of 7. We just don't have quite enough to bump it up to a 7. And also the fact that initially the husband wants to avoid, which would have been a 5, you also want to take that into account. So if you thought it was a 7, but you're accommodating the husband's avoidance, then you know the average between the 5 and the 7 would be a 6 anyway. So that's another way to look at this one. All right. Any questions? All right. Vignette number 8. And we have here, I just realized, Elise, I didn't share my screen. Sorry.
That's okay.
I just saw that. There, how's that? You can see it
better.
Now? Okay, sorry yeah. About that. You could just speak up.
I could hear what you were saying. I mean, you're saying the same thing.
All right.
This would have showed me, so.
All right. So number 8 here is 3. And that's the gold standard. And we got 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. Wow. All right. Let's see if we can make it reliability of 1. 3, 3, 3. Another 1.0 reliability again. Congrats, everybody. Let's go to vignette 9. Vignette 9 is the perfect score of 7 given by the gold standard folks. And so we got 6, 7, 5 is a little bit low. 7, 7, 6. And 6, 7, 6. So Sageline, you had the 5. Did you want to defend it? Or
I would like to defend it.
Go for it.
The reason I would like to defend it the 5 is because the conflict was never fully resolved. And yes, that it said that he would like text her, he would agree to wait outside of the car. But it ends with he knows they need the money, which is what makes the whole situation harder for him. So I don't think that it shows that he doesn't express whether he is satisfied with this resolution, waiting in the car and texting.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right, so let's see what the gold standard folks have to say about it. In this example, the female character recognizes the male character's anger, and he is able to acknowledge his anger. They're able to talk about it in a positive and adaptive way. They work to resolve the issue. His anger is well controlled throughout the narrative. For these reasons, this is given a score of 7. So a 5 would be if somebody's avoiding their anger. Is anybody avoiding anger in this vignette? So then you automatically have to rule out a 5. So now the choice is between a 6 and a 7. And a 6 would, I'm okay with a 6. But a 5 is just too low because there's no avoidance here. So if you look at the anchor points at the bottom of the page, avoids dealing with anger by denying it, defending against it, or avoiding confrontations. We don't see that in this vignette, so we have to rule out five automatically. Now you have to make a decision between a six and a seven. About half the lab picked six, the other half picked seven, basically. Seven's the correct answer, but a six is acceptable. Five's a little bit low because we don't see avoidance here.
Even if there wasn't really now that I look at it again, I can see that there was enough of a conclusion to the conflict, the argument. I think it was the last sentence that threw me off and made me make it lower.
Okay, let's see. The last sentence. Let's see. Afterward, they will talk about how work went and address any insecurities he may be experiencing. He knows they need money, which is what makes the whole situation harder for him.
It just feels like more of a compromise for less of a compromise for him.
I can understand what you're saying, but you're reading into it a little bit, right? So he might not be completely pleased, but it doesn't say he has lingering, smoldering anger, or he's going to stuff his feelings about the money that they need. It doesn't say that. Now, if it said that, I would totally agree with you, but it's not. It doesn't say that. It could very well be that's what's on his mind, and maybe if you were in this situation, maybe if you put yourself in the situation of this guy, maybe you would still feel some lingering resentment that the compromise didn't really...
I'd be very mad at the situation.
Right. The trouble is that you aren't in this story, right? It's easy to kind of identify with the characters. You know, when we go to see a movie... we kind of like almost identify with the characters and we're kind of engrossed in the narrative and we can see ourselves doing this. And I don't know if you've ever tried VR, what's that stand for? I forget.
Virtual reality.
Right. So you go into VR and you're really immersed in a 3D situation and you become the person. I think people who make movies and make video games are always trying to break down the boundaries between self and other by this, you know, using technology to immerse the person in the situation so that they completely forget who they are in the moment. You want to avoid doing that when you read these vignettes because it's not you, and you really have to stick with what's on the page. Like,
can't extrapolate more.
What's
that?
I
just cannot extrapolate.
Exactly. You have to stick with pretty much what's on the page here. It could be, I mean, you might be right. This character might still be feeling pissed.
It says he's the jealous type. So, it's just his personality. I feel like, in general, his personality holds a lot of, begrudging, a lot of resentment in general. That's what, maybe you're right. Maybe I do associate people who are jealous, people who hold envy and resentment.
Right.
In a way.
Right. And remember that jealousy might be activated only in circumstances where the girlfriend is talking to some other guy, you know. If that's not happening, then, you know, we can... take that out of the equation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, so number 10, vignette number 10, the gold standard score is 4, and we have 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. We might run the table. Let's see. 4, 4, 4. Nice, nicely done. So I think there were 3 vignettes on which all 9 of you rated it perfectly with each other, but also perfectly with the gold standard. So that's great. So congratulations. I think this might be the first time that's happened as we've been training together. Any questions about aggression. Experience and management of aggressive impulses. No? All right. So, shall we move along to self-esteem? All right, let's do that. So, I sent out with my email message today the chapter describing the self-esteem variable or dimension. And like all the others, this is a dimension that goes from 1 to 7. And you see at the bottom of the page, or you will see at the bottom of the page, that there are the anchor points. So 1 is view self as loathsome. That means just hateful, evil, rotten, contaminating, globally bad. A 3 is has low self-esteem, just like your garden variety, low self-esteem, like feeling inadequate, inferior, self-critical, etc. Like how maybe some of you felt after midterms, right? Or is unrealistically grandiose, and we're going to talk about that. And that gets back to this idea of reaction formation and the opposite of what you're really feeling. We're going to talk about that. A 5 is displays a range of positive and negative feelings towards self. So you can pat yourself on the back, but also criticize yourself. There's a range of feelings. And then a 7 tends to have realistically positive feelings about him or herself. And the word realistically is in there for a reason, because unrealistically positive feelings we call what? That's one word. What do these authors use as the word? No, but that's, you're right in the ballpark. Anybody else? Grandiosity. So unrealistically positive feelings about oneself is known as grandiosity, and that's another kind of psychoanalytic term. So when you're scoring this, you have to remember that if there's nothing positive about the self or the character's own feelings about themselves in the vignette, then it's scored below 4. It's 1, 2, or 3. If there's anything positive at all, then you're looking at 5, 6, and 7. And if there's nothing going on if there's no reflections on the self and self-concept, then you score it a 4. So you get a freebie there. The 4 is automatic if self is not addressed in the vignette. Okay? And this dimension, as well as, do you remember when we scored affective representations? Or affective quality of representations, AFF. Remember I said that dimension is not dependent upon maturity. So when you're scoring affective quality of representations, either negative or positive, it's not like you start out as a baby with exclusively negative affective quality, and then as you grow up, it gets increasingly positive. That's not how that works. Similarly with self-esteem. It's not like you're born with really low self-esteem. I hate myself. I'm a baby. I hate myself. And then you gradually grow up to have positive self-esteem. It doesn't work like that. So this is not a maturationally sensitive dimension. It's not based on maturation. We can talk about what it is based on, but it's not based on that. So just keep that in mind, that babies, toddlers, preschoolers can have high self-esteem, okay? And old people can have very, very low self-esteem. So keep that in mind. Any questions so far before I go on? Okay, so let's talk about the specific scoring. So for a 1, the characters have to be inherently bad. A core feeling of badness. There might be some self-harming behavior. They hate themselves. They're disgusting. All right. So a two is there's self-disgust, but the person doesn't act on it. So they're not hurting themselves. Then it's a two. All right. But it depends on the overall narrative. The score of three is your garden variety person with walks around with low self-esteem, kind of like after the midterms, right? Insecure, I feel insecure, I'm inferior, I'm ineffective, I'm less than, I don't measure up, I'm doubtful of myself, I'm very self-conscious, I'm verbally self-denigrating. So, for example, I'm not good at this, I can't do this. All right, so that's a three. There's not that sense of I am evil inside. There's a darkness in me. That there's a my heart is black.
Like a healthy self, like something that doesn't seem like it's like all persistent. Something that might be in the moment, in the moment.
It could be in the moment, like after the midterms. You know, like you want to beat yourself up. I didn't study as hard as I should have. I should have done better. Blah, 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 you know, I'm inferior, I'm not as good as my classmates. That would be like a three. So let me talk about grandiosity. So the other type of vignette that would merit a score of a three is a grandiose vignette. So like the person in the story is the greatest of all time. You know, one of these TAT drawings is that of a boy sitting at a desk staring at a violin. And I think one of the stories that is contained in the chapter is that the story is that the boy picks up the violin and instantly can play like Stradivarius, you know, and goes, you know, is able to play for these New York Symphony Orchestra or the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and becomes a world famous violinist, but you don't really see what steps the boy took to get to that pinnacle of his profession, right? We don't know how that happened. It seems to happen magically. The boy just is some kind of prodigy and just can pick up the violin and just play like Yitzhak Perlman, you know, just the best. That's not how it works. Yitzhak Perlman will tell you, like, he worked his ass off to get where he is, you know, but you don't read that in the story, so that's grandiosity. And that would be scored a three, because psychoanalytically, we're thinking that grandiosity is a defense mechanism against underlying feelings of low self-esteem. So it protects the person from the awareness of low self-esteem, that I'm really not all that. Inferior to other people. So to protect yourself from those feelings of inferiority, the person then adopts a persona of superiority. And so it's a form of reaction formation, which is what I talked about earlier in our lab today. Does that make sense? So those vignettes also would be scored a three. All right. So we go to a four, and as I said, a four reflects the fact that the self-concept is not part of any of this story. And so you really can't code it, so you just give it a four. All right? A score of five shows the beginning of a healthy expression of self-esteem. So there might be negative feelings about the self or abilities that, you know, the negative feelings and thoughts about one's abilities might be there, but they don't prevent the person from doing what they wanted or need to do. All right, positive feelings often accompany the individual's continued efforts. So maybe say, I can't do it. You know, it's like the little train that could, You ever read that book as a kid?
I know it exists, but I never read it.
You never, no? Nobody ever, parents never read that to you as a kid? All right, it's about a little train who tries to make it up the hill and just can't do it, and but eventually, because, and they start feeling bad about themselves, but eventually they make it to the top of the hill and they feel great about themselves. So we would score the little train that could a 5. Right? So that train would score a 5 on this scale. Because they even though they had low self-esteem, they never gave up. They showed persistence, they showed resilience, and they were able to achieve their goal, and so that would be scored a 5, that train. And then a 6 or 7 are the last two anchor points. And if it's solely positive, but realistic, then it's a 7. And then a 6 is positive aspects of the self are noted. But for a score of 7, it has to be highlighted. The self-esteem dimension is very prominent in the story. And that's what distinguishes between a 6 and a 7. In a 7, the story is really built around the person's self-esteem and the positivity of the self-esteem. In 6, it's a feature of the story, but it's not the theme that really stands out. Any questions about self-esteem?
So can we still have some unrealistic parts in score 5?
If it's really unrealistic, it really should be a 3. Okay. Daniel.
What if the self-esteem is like kind of like ambivalent in the story? So maybe they explicitly talk about having high self-esteem in one thing and maybe a low self-esteem in another.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm a pretty good runner, but I'm a horrible swimmer. Right? So I have high self-esteem when I'm on the treadmill in the gym. Yeah. I have a low self-esteem when I'm in the swimming pool.
Right.
So I would be, so what I just told you, if that were a vignette, that would be a 5.
Oh, okay.
Okay. What are the questions you have about self-esteem? I want everybody to get in the 90s again. That was exciting. Daniel.
Wait, how did you distinguish between a 6 and 7 again?
So for a 7, the story or vignette has to kind of revolve around the self-esteem. Like, that's the point of the story, that the person feels good about themselves, maybe having accomplished a goal or, you know, having been recognized by some authoritative organization for their skill at something. So, like, I don't know, winning the Academy Award for Best Actor. But it has to be realistic. So they had to have worked hard to get to that point where they were able to receive that award. That would be a 7. In a 6, the person expresses high self-esteem. However, it's not the main theme of the story. It's part of the story, but it's not really the main part of the story. It's not really the predominant theme that stands out. Does that make sense? It's not highlighted.
And then 5 would be self-esteem is like,
there has to be some negative in 5.
Some negative.
Yep.
Okay.
So it's both, as you said earlier, ambivalence. About I'm good at one thing and not good at another, like me. Good at running, not so good at swimming. Not that I would sink in a pool, but just I don't feel as confident in the water.
But what about like self-esteem is like crap, but still like works really hard. But that's still five.
It depends. You know, it depends on whether they actually ultimately are successful. Right? Remember I said the little engine that could would be scored a five? Because they you know, I think I can. That's like the chorus in this book. I think I can. And then at the end, I know I can. So they never stop believing in themselves. You know that Journey song, Don't Stop Believing? You never heard that song? That's from my generation. So, Don't Stop Believing. You ever heard that song, Elisa? Yeah, she's heard it.
That's a good song.
Yeah, that's from a number of years ago. But so that whoever wrote that song would probably be scored a five, right? Elisa, you want to add anything to self? I mean, you've scored self-esteem many, many times. What do you think? Is it one of the easier ones, one of the more difficult ones for you?
Well, I think it was easier because we were doing children at the time, so a lot of times it didn't come up that much.
Right.
But I think something that would be interesting to pay attention to is that idea of grandiosity, especially for adults, because I feel like that's a common thing to hear, you know, oh, great, you know, but they're not really meaning that. So I think that'll be something to watch out for.
Right. It's like, I'm great, but they really haven't earned it. Or you don't see the earning part of it.
Or sometimes like a sarcasm kind of like defense or something. So, yeah.
Right. Right.
Would there be a way to code grandiosity as a defense mechanism in a poster or something? Because that is something that I do, that you fixate on all the good things rather than all the bad things in order to like bring your self-esteem higher.
Okay. You have to have two variables that you want to see whether they're related to each other. So grandiosity, and then what's the other variable you want to relate it to?
Maybe something in PQS, or maybe in aggression, because a lot of people who are in denial or who fixate tend to be more aggressive.
Who tend to be more grandiose or more aggressive? You have some research to support that idea?
I was looking at some of it, and I'm trying to find that right now.
Okay.
So that's what I'm doing.
Well, if you want to work on that, let me know. I mean, we can support more than one poster in this group. Elisa has one, but we can support more than one. And we have an extended deadline, right? You said January, was it 15th now?
It's the 10th.
The 10th.
But I'll check again.
Okay.
There is a study that was done in 2019 about how violence and fixation, that there's a relation between fixation and violence. Like if you are someone who is very adamant to believe one thing and is unwilling to be open-minded to new ideas, it tends to be more violent.
Right. So you're talking about more like stubbornness. But grandiosity is a little bit different. Grandiose people can often be stubborn, but I view those two constructs as being conceptually different from each other, or distinct.
I am interested in reading this thesis, though. I wish I email it to you, but this does seem like a cool paper.
Okay, but it looks like it's unpublished, right?
It's an essay by L.H. Rowenfeld in 2019. It aimed to find out exactly what causes fixation to lead to an increased risk of violence caused by an individual. And I think it was a master's thesis.
Okay, so quite probably it was not published. So the problem with unpublished work is that it's not peer-reviewed. And if you don't peer review research, then the ability to trust that work is lessened. So researchers tend not to cite unpublished works in their own writings. Now, if you found a published work that supported that thesis, then we could build on that. All right, and it's possible that this person published their master's thesis. It's not likely, but it is possible.
If I could find it somewhere, like look up.
Right. I mean, go to libraries.emory.edu and type in this person's name, or maybe the title of the thesis of their master's thesis, and it might pop up if it's been published. So it's been 3 years since they wrote their master's thesis. So that would give them enough time to publish it, if indeed they tried to do that.
I see one in 2017, but victim offender mediation. But yeah, I don't see that one exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right, you can keep working on it. And what?
For sure.
Okay. Any other questions or comments about self-esteem or anything at all? Meaning of life? Mm-hmm. Daniel.
I have a question. Is there a way for someone to be like so grandiose that they like score lower than a 3? Like for example, I think this was like a DSM-4 diagnosis for like schizophrenia where you have like a certain kind of psychosis where it's not unreal, but it's possible versus like unreal versus like it'll never happen, that kind of thing.
No, I mean this coding system lumps those two ideas together, so they would both be considered 3.
Both 3. Okay.
Yeah, so 2 and 1 are reserved for like really hating yourself and maybe cutting yourself or doing something hurtful to yourself.
On the last one, what is it? You can like hurt yourself, but like earn it too if it's like really.
For aggression, yeah.
Aggression.
Right, so you get a 2 on aggression, but you get a 1 on self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So remember, when we eventually start coding, like all 8 dimensions together, you'll have different scores on all the different dimensions. I mean, some might be the same, but in general, they're going to be all different. So you would, in that scenario, Daniel, you'd have aggression with the score of 2 and self-esteem with the score of 1. And that's perfectly fine.
Right.
Anything else? So when's finals week coming up?
Next week.
Next week?
At least for me, next week.
Everybody else?
Next week?
All right, well, I wish you all the best, and hopefully you'll be able to send me your ratings by Monday night. All right, we can end a little early. So I'll see you next week. Thank you. Thanks, Elisa.
Have a good one.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Yeah.
I wanted to show. I found this. It was a student thesis. And I'm not sure if I can use it as counted as published because it is like on their personal website.
No, that it has to be a it has
PubMed
to
or anything like that.
Right, it has to be a peer reviewed journal.
Right. Okay. Well, we still have 15 minutes, so I don't look at
it. Okay.
Some people didn't even matter. It was so upsetting.
No, because we were so close to win by 3.
That was so sad.
It was literally, I was like, I don't know why the whole team was starting giving up. I was like, what?